your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Space. Hello, David Britton.
Hi, how are you, Johnny?
I'm good.
I'm here also.
Big Hungry is here as well.
Hi, I'm here as well.
We're pretty much a duo. It's Johnny and Big Hungry. It's okay, mate. It's okay.
Moving forward.
I'm totally fine. It's totally fine. What's up with space? Come on, give it to us.
What will be going up into space is a new mission for Rocket Lab.
Oh, I heard this is good
New
news.
New company, yeah. What they've been doing so far and continue doing for a while to come, I'm sure, is sending small satellites into orbit around the Earth. That's what they're specializing in, and that's what they're aiming to do better than anyone else. But they've just snagged a contract with NASA to launch a small satellite to the moon.
Yo. So yeah, teaming up with NASA is massive. That's like got to be a huge head nod.
Well, they've done other smaller stuff for NASA before, but
right. This
is a step up going to the moon, because you've got to get far enough away from the Earth that the Earth's gravity is less than the moon's gravity.
Right.
And the moon's gravity then takes over and you can go into orbit around the moon.
It's kind of a sign of the times as well, isn't it? I guess the more NASA is sort of outsourcing stuff, it sort of shows they don't really have as much money as they used to, does it?
Yeah, but this is an experimental satellite. It's a small satellite. Mm. It's called a CubeSat. So a normal CubeSat is 10 centimeters by 10 by 10 centimeters
in
size.
That's really
wow.
Yeah, and so they are small.
But fireworks bigger than that.
But I mean, it becomes affordable for like universities to have satellites.
True.
And when they're launched, they're not launched on one single rocket. One rocket will take a whole bunch of them up.
Mm.
And they'll be launched in sequence. This one is 12 of those. So because you can put these together. You don't just have to have one CubeSat. You can have two of them together or three or four or whatever. This is a 12 CubeSat satellite.
Okay.
So it's 12 units to it, weighing 25 kilograms. It's called Capstone. NASA's up to its usual tricks with acronyms. It stands for, wait for it, Cislunar Autonomous Positioning System Technology Operations and Navigation Experiment.
What was the first bit? Cislunar.
Cislunar means it goes around the moon.
Okay.
It's near the moon.
So it worked out to be a pretty sweet word.
Capstone, yeah.
Capstone,
I think they worked pretty hard on them.
Oh, someone's getting a pay rise.
Yeah, so it's a $15.5 million US dollar contract with NASA. It'll be going, it's targeted to go early next year using the Electron rocket, the main launch rocket that Rocket Lab have. And then there's a second stage that will take it from Earth orbit, sending it to the moon. So once it's done that, Rocket Lab's out of the picture and NASA takes over looking after its satellite. At the moon.
So the idea of this satellite
is to figure out more details about how you would have like a space station around the moon, essentially. This is part of going back to the moon, and what NASA wants to do is have a space station called Gateway orbiting the moon. And this satellite will be going up there to check out a better navigation system, because they know exactly where they are at the moon. It's much easier when you're going around the Earth, of course, and to check out a whole bunch of other technology. Yeah, so a real big feather in the cap for Rocket Lab.
Very nice.
We'll follow that when it happens, of course.
Of course. It's a big story. Now, what was the next thing that you had for us, David? Arakoff?
Oh, man.
What is Arakoff?
Please, can you say it, David?
Arakoff. You will remember this as being Ultima Thule.
Ah, Ultima Thule.
I don't remember.
How could I forget Ultima Thule?
Is it normal that I don't remember? Pretty much.
Possibly. That's the object that the New Horizons spacecraft went to after it went past Pluto.
Mm. It's the thing that looks like a snowman.
That's the one.
Yes.
A red snowman.
Oh, right. I do remember.
Yeah.
Got you.
So that was Ultima Thule. Well, that was the name that was given to it by people at the time, the mission, the people that are running New Horizons, but they don't get to and give the official name. That's the International Astronomical Union, and a special committee of them came up with Arakov. Anyway, I have mentioned that since. But the point here is that when New Horizons went past Arakov, they used the early data to try and figure out a few things. I mean, why were these two pieces of large pieces of material joined? How did they join? And why are they flat? I mean, it looks like a snowman, but it's a snowman that's been given a big whack with a flat board. So okay. It's like two sort of discs next to each other almost. Mm. And they figured out that the joining of them, the merging of the two, must have been slow. It can't have been a fast coming together, otherwise they would have either broken pieces off each other or disintegrated or
but to
left
join,
massive craters.
For them to join together like that, would they needed to have been like really hot or like molten kind of, you know?
No, I mean, out there it's not far above absolute zero.
Okay.
So, no, it's really, really cold out there.
So more than likely be a bit of PVA or something like that.
Well, ice, mostly.
Yeah.
But the other thing is the density of the material is not like a piece of wood even. It's not even as dense as that.
Oh, okay.
It's a conglomeration of millions of pieces that are held together mostly by different sorts of ices, ammonia and water and so on. And so when they do come together, there's melting at the interface when they're actually coming together. But because it's so cold, it all freezes again. So what they've done over the last year, because that was the 1st of January when the New Horizons went past Ultima Thule, as it was then, a year later, they've got all the data finally from the spacecraft. It's taken all that time to download the data because the spacecraft is so far away, the signal is so weak, the information came back very, very slowly. And so they've got 10 times more data now that they've gone through, and they've been able to confirm all of that. That's the main thing, is they've been able to say this, our initial interpretation is correct. There's three new papers on different aspects of this that support all of that. What that means is that when the solar system formed, small objects like this, they're called planetesimals, or like pre-planets, if you like, they formed from small pieces like pebbles, called pebble accretion. To make the large craters and so on, you need greater velocities. That came a bit later with larger objects that have more gravity. So they're finding out much more about the details of how, you know, the Earth came about and the solar system formed 4.5 billion years ago.
Just size-wise, this is about 30 kilometres
across? It's about 36 kilometres from top to bottom, yeah.
Okay, and it's been flying around space for the last 4.5 billion years?
Yep.
Classic.
It's
mind-boggling.
And it's, how many million? It's further than Pluto. About 6.6 billion kilometres away.
Did you carry the four?
I carried the four, yes.
Okay, great.
Now, David, what's happening in the night sky at the moment?
The night sky, we've got clear nights off and on, which is really nice to see them. Before sunrise, the moon's going to be passing close by Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn are in a line going from sort of due east at an angle up towards the north. So on the 19th, tomorrow morning, the moon will go very close past Mars, and then on Thursday it'll go past Jupiter, and then Friday go past Saturn. So three opportunities for really good astrophotography and get some photos of that. The one thing about going past Mars is before that happens, in fact, if you're up in the United States, anywhere in North America, Mars will actually go in front, sorry, Moon will go in front of Mars. It will cover Mars for a short period.
Are we calling that a Mars eclipse or not?
No, it's called an occultation.
God damn it, I can't win anything.
So it's a special type of eclipse.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
that's
so
kind of what I wanted.
We can't see that because it'll be daytime. We'll see it go very close to Mars tomorrow morning. And in this, it's after sunset on the 27th, the moon, which will be just after new moon, 27th, it'll be going up by Venus. So another chance there to get a nice photo. The other thing to look out for is SpaceX launched another 60 satellites yesterday.
Jesus wept. Are these all... Now, since you just told me before that those satellites are like 10 centimetres wide, is that pretty much all satellites?
No. Starlink satellites are bigger than that.
Okay, sweet.
No,
when I think
not,
about satellites, I'm like, at least like a truck-sized thing floating around in...
Yeah, no, I don't think they're quite that big, but they're certainly not the CubeSat size. So they launched another 60 yesterday. So at twilight, either after sunset for a couple of hours or before sunrise for a couple of hours, you could well see these trails of satellites going across the sky as they gradually make their way up into their final orbit. You can check that out on the internet to find out whether you'll be able to see it. Or you can go to the Stardome website, stardome.org.nz, and Heavens Above is a place there that tells you what you can see from where you live.
Right on. Hey, on the Stardome, what's going down?
Children's Day on the 1st of March. So Sunday.
What does that mean?
Week.
You guys cover everything in plastic and just let them go nuts? Or?
You don't need to cover them in plastic. no need for that. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's like an open day. It's $2 per person. There'll be shows every half an hour. You need to reserve seats for the shows, though. So you can either phone 624-1246 at Stardome in Runtree Hill to reserve one of those shows, or just on the day when you turn up. But you can't just walk into a planetarium show. You do have to have an allocated seat for that. So it's going to be a whole bunch of activities all day. The Discovery Room Activity Centre will be running. There'll be solar telescopes outside, so people look at the sun, and a whole bunch of other fun going on. So,
must be quite a cool buzz to see all the kids sort of wide-eyed, getting their minds blown.
Yeah, well, parents too.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so if you people are wanting to check out, if they didn't quite catch everything I said, and for the other space news that I don't have time to mention on the show, just remember to go to our website, click on the astronomy tab, and all the stories that are given on the show are on a website, a web page there, the Space Hour web page, plus a whole bunch of other stories I said that we don't have time to talk about on air.
Kapai.
So, Have a look at those and get more details and argue about things. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, David Britton, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure, mate. Cheers.
Pleasure. Catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.